Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining Revolution Radio Special Reports. This is Brian Powers, and I am live from RevRad Studios up in North New Jersey, Maine. So everybody knows I moved. I'm not going to do this. Isn't a regular show, so we're not going to spend a lot of time telling you to donate or anything like that. We're going to get right to bringing in my guest for this special report, Sherry Honkla, out of Philadelphia, somebody who I've followed for years, and we've run into each other at a couple of things. You work with the Green Party, and I've been kind of bashing the Green Party the last couple of months. I'm sorry, but Sherry is an example. You know, I think it's really fair to say, you know, I bring Sherry on because she's an example of somebody that does material shit. Like, I'm always yelling about lefties, like trying to get into elections and win elections without actually providing any real resources to people. And Sherry, you're somebody I idolize when it comes to meeting material needs. And thanks for joining me really quickly today on what's, I'm sure, a very busy time for you out there in Philadelphia. How are you today?
I'm doing good. And I really appreciate your radio station. There's very few real independent media left in this country.
Yeah, I thank you. And it's, you know, we got a lot of comrades driving it. So it's not just me. And you know, I want to recognize everybody behind Revolution Radio, our editorial board and supporting staff and everything, does a lot of great work here as well. So Sherry, tell me really quickly before we dig into what's going on there in Philadelphia about the Poor People's Army and kind of where it sprung up from. And because it is a real presence in Philadelphia. You know, people should know, if you haven't heard about Sherry and her work. This is an organization that's been around in different formations for a couple of decades, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually been around for 30 years. We started as the Kensington Welfare Rights Union. Then we morphed into the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. And then there was the powers that be set up another entity called the Poor People's Campaign, funded by corporations and big foundations. And so a lot of people were confused and thinking that that's who we were. And so it was time for us to change the name and become the Poor People's Army and to set up a structure more similar to that of the Zapatistas, the Peasant Army in Chiapas, than to an organization that looked more like a nonprofit industrial complex. So I know that's a lot, but we are organizing bases and divisions of the Poor People's Army across the entire country, teaching people how to take back housing, take back land, take back their food, their health care. And we are not spending a great deal of time on a road that's about begging our elected officials to give us things. We've come to a point now in history where we're getting organized to take back the basic necessities of life.
Yeah, when I talk about, and there's been some harping on the left about building real establishments, and Sherry's certainly a trailblazer in that. This is marching order, so I should let our audience know that, you know, this isn't just a report. We need some help. I mean, that's why we broke in today. That's why we're coming on at 4 o'clock instead of our usual time. So we do want to get into what we need you to do. So, yes, what's going on in Philly? I mean, I woke up this morning to an email from our mutual comrade that HUD wants to make people homeless in the middle of winter storms and a pandemic.
Absolutely. We've taken over 30 abandoned government-owned properties by Housing and Urban Development. And we think it's no accident that when somebody takes over one or two properties on the West Coast or the Midwest or someplace else in the country, it makes national news. For us, you can hear the crickets. And that's because we have over 30 properties and we're continuing to take properties, more and more properties, every 2 to 3 days. Yesterday, in the middle of the winter storm, we got a notice on one of our doors. Basically, they said we had 24 hours and they're going to throw the families out. We have taken 3 of our properties where we have gotten eviction notices and We have filed an emergency injunction in federal court, and we've asked the National Lawyers Guild to step forward and to voice public support for the families in the takeover houses.
And I believe they did so, right? They issued a press release that's on your website now in support. That's correct?
Yes. So right now we have a public statement from the National Lawyers Guild, but we're still in a situation where, like, this afternoon, tomorrow, the next day, they could just throw the families out. And so we need whatever, you know, whoever's listening to this, to, if you're around the Philadelphia area and want to participate in nonviolent civil disobedience, we're hoping that you send us your email, your phone number, so that you can go to one of the 30 houses to defend those houses. Or if you are a part of the legal community, if you can sign up to participate in defending one of these houses in federal court, or standing there and being a witness to the crime that will take place, because there's a federal moratorium on throwing people out of their houses, I guess, except for when it comes to housing and urban development.
So you want people to, so I know that dealing with lawyers, how many lawyers do you have engaged? I mean, are you fighting 30 different things, or are you just engaged in this one kind of legal fight right now? But are you having issues with some of the other properties that are coming down right now?
Yes, we have. We have been notified that the feds, the sheriff's department, and the East Detectives Unit are holding daily meetings about us. And so, of course, part of the plan is to isolate us from the entire country and make sure that there's no media, you know, lots of interesting things are happening today. I normally have my email on my phone. Somebody signed me out of my email, you know, just those lovely things that are taking place. You know, doing things like putting a notice up on a door in the middle of a snowstorm, knowing that it's difficult for people to get around. So I think that part of the plan is to frustrate us, to, you know, have us become demoralized. And that sure in hell ain't going to happen. The way to end homelessness.
We just get warmed up. We just went, some of the countries just went in out of guys. You know, like you said, they've been trying to bury you. Let me ask, can I ask, you said the government owns the property. Does the state or the federal government own
this property? Federal government owns these properties.
So the benevolent Joe Biden is in charge of this.
The Joe Biden is. Sleepy Joe.
I know, like you said, like you're building institutions and trying to do this through. It's militant. Militant as hell what you're doing. This is some of the most militant work, I think, really, that's going on out there. And God bless you for it. And we're here to support you in whatever we can. But you have to interact at some point. I mean, the government's going to come in and force an interaction, right? So, and you've got decades of experience. Do you have any momentum with any officials or any government agency at all right now, or are they just purely the enemy?
Well, I mean, I don't think anybody is just purely the enemy. People have an ability to change at any given moment, no matter, you know, even if they're part of the government or whatever other section of the nonprofit industrial complex. I mean, the fact is that there'll be no more negotiating whether or not people have a way to stay safe during the pandemic and whether or not women and children freeze to death, at least in Kensington and in Philadelphia. people are homeless and there's an abandoned house, we're taking it. We're moving families in. We don't need another study. We don't need more and more of these nonprofit agencies, you know, paying 2.3 staff people here, another 30 social workers there. Especially doing at a time when we're seeing luxury units being, built within days, where we're seeing, land trust being and housing trust and being turned into land grabs instead of being what they're supposed to be for, which is the development of affordable housing. We're done with all of that. In Philadelphia, Elsa Noderman and a bunch of cartographers did research, and they found out for every homeless individual in Philadelphia, there's 10 abandoned properties.
Jesus.
So we're done. People are not just gonna adjust to a lower standard of living and go someplace and die. We're making a decision to keep people alive. And similar to, the Underground Railroad, we're building a new Underground Railroad, and we're asking people to step forward, make a moral decision, break these unjust laws in order to keep people alive. We think it should be criminal to throw women and children and men out onto the streets during a pandemic and in a winter storm.
I don't want to give too much away about any of the people that you work with, because I think the priority is keeping them safe, right? But can you give me an idea about, maybe one of these family stories and how they, where they came from and how they wound up in one of these homes?
Yeah, we've really had to be super underground because the state and the federal government is just absolutely vicious with their threats, with trying to destroy people's characters, cutting off benefits, just some really crazy stuff. So, probably the youngest we have in one of these houses, she's about 6 or 7 months old. We have grandmothers. We have somebody that lost their house in a fire. And the city put them up for 2 weeks in a hotel at the beginning of the pandemic and then said, okay, you've used up your time now in the hotel, so leave with your children. And so she contacted us because she knew that there was nobody else that was going to help her. And we moved them into an abandoned house. We have a woman, we actually have several people that have both mostly physical disabilities that, there's no help for them either. Mm. It doesn't matter if you're in a wheelchair, it doesn't matter what your situation is. There's literally no place to go, unless you want to be warehoused on top of each other, and risk getting sick, for a temporary period of time that serves, the needs of the city's public relations, and then you're back out on the street.
Well, I have a comrade of mine that works with you, and he wouldn't even tell me like who he was working with. All I knew for about a year was that he was working in houses in Philly, and he kind of told me like what was going on. And I said, "Well, how do you find the people?" And he said, "I get a message from God." That's what he would say. I'm talking to somebody with a really high status in some people's minds, but that was, it really was like something that you had to build underground. And now it's, I guess it's time. I mean, obviously, if HUD's aware, we're not breaking any secrets here, but we are making the public aware. So if you're listening on the podcast right now, and you can catch our podcast really quickly, I do have to plug that we're on Spotify and iTunes and Google Play and everything. So if you find Revolution Radio, please subscribe, because we will be sending out some alerts like this. You know, it's part of our organizing. We don't just do media. We do media to support people that are taking action and doing these kinds of things. So, Sherry, you know, I want to make sure we get out there to the people who are listening and can't see the little crawl on the bottom that they call Philly HUD. And we'll give out the number a couple of times here. It's 215-656-0500. And Sherry, who are we calling, and what is our message to these fine people?
You're calling the Regional Office of Housing and Urban Development. So that means that's our housing, because this is our government. And you're telling them to keep the women and children in these homes, keep the families in the HUD houses. Don't throw the families out of the takeover houses. You know, basically at the end of the day, when we develop the political will and courage across this country, we can end homelessness, because not just Philadelphia, across the entire country, there's enough abandoned houses to end homelessness. We don't proceed from this notion of scarcity and that there's not enough to go around. We could end it. And that's what we intend to do in our lifetime. And we're so excited because we recently had a group from Baltimore, another group from Kentucky, people that are taking lessons from us and going back to their parts of the country and beginning to house families.
Yes. And homelessness and poverty and capitalism. We have a lot to end. And I appreciate you taking a few minutes today to talk to us here on Revolution Radio. A couple more times, we're going to call HUD, the area code 215, and it just scrolled off of our screen there, so let's wait for it to come around again here. 215-656-0050 is the number. And Sherry, how do we get in touch with you and your organization and keep tabs on
that? Go to www.poorpeoples.com. You know, or go to social media, look for the Poor People's Army, the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. You'll find us on all social media. And again, we really appreciate and hope that you'll keep your listeners updated on the struggle that's taking place in Philly.
We need our listeners and our comrades out there to share this out. Make sure you go to Poor People's Army social media, share their posts out. This is the part of the struggle where we need to let everybody know what's going on. So do your thing, revolutionaries. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in Tuesday night, 8 p.m. for the IDAVOX report. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. for NJRR Live. We will continue to support the grassroots as much as we can. And if you want to contribute, www.njrevolutionradio.com. Till then, solidarity.